There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Hold on a sec. I'm gonna get me a beer.
She had her feet up on the cooler as she put our love on ice. She grabbed a beer, said I'm out of here, and walked out of my life. That was a cold one.
All right. Thanks, Eric. 1206 FM Talk 106.5. And hey, y'all, Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. I know it feels like a Monday to a lot of folks coming off of a little short vacation there. But yeah, Wednesday, and we'll do the show just that way. Lots of good stuff coming up today. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, joins us in hour number two. He's got a new part of the staff there dedicated to reporting on the upcoming session in Montgomery. Lots to get into, gas tax, lotto, all that. We'll do that in hour number two. Also, some of those items and national news as well. When we talk to Cameron Smith from AL.com, he joins us in just about 10 minutes right here on Midday Mobile. And why do we go with that? Well, that is the Elizabeth Warren cut. And yeah, you know, thanks, Mike Gallagher. Brand new around here, and you're already trying to get in trouble with me as you ended your show talking about Elizabeth Warren, the way I'm going to open up this show as Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts. Of course, we talked about it last week, or I guess earlier this week. It is messed up. But yeah, we talked about that on Monday, the announcement that she's running for president in 2020. Well, that was just, she had like a 4.5-minute ad that came out on Monday. And then over the holiday, she drops her Instagram live stream. That's right. 69-year-old Elizabeth Warren. Instagram live stream, because she's hip. Like, she's just like everybody else. Just like everybody else. The Instagram live feed from her kitchen where she's hanging out with the dog and drinking a beer. Here's the here's about a minute of that. Here's her being so very relatable. By the way, beware. I should go ahead and put a bear warning, a panda bear warning, before you hear this. Here's Elizabeth Warren.
If you hear gnawing in the background, the reason for that is that Bailey is in the kitchen. Say hello, Bailey. Say hello. Yeah, yeah. He says hello with his tail. That's who he is. Yes, sweet boy. That's our Bailey. That's our Bailey. And Bailey wags his tail. Hold on a sec. I'm going to get me a beer.
She's going to get me a beer, says Elizabeth Warren. She's shown that she's got a dog now, and she drinks beer. So let's get back to her being relatable. Here we go. Here, more relatability. Oh. By the way, let me point out, a glass bottle. Yeah, even though you can watch the video, and we'll put that up on the Twitter feed, but you could hear a glass bottle, so not a can.
Hey, Robert, my husband Bruce is now in here.
Imagine that. My husband stopped by. I've got a husband.
You want a beer?
No, I'll pass on the beer for now.
You sure? Okay, say hello to folks.
Yes. Somebody has to be able to drive you around, Liz.
So, this is my sweetie.
Hello.
He's... And I'm crazy.
I love you.
I love you, too. Thank you for being here.
Pleasure.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, enjoy your beer.
Because that's how spouses talk to each other all the time.
Who have we got here so far? Skylar?
Oh, yeah, she's checking out the people on Instagram live stream. So Skylar's first up.
And 14 others. Hello?
Oh, wow. 14 others.
Oh, Denise? Hi. Fortnite?
Fortnite, the entirety of Fortnite to stop by to say hello to Elizabeth Warren. That's good. So she's calling out the rest of them.
Wow. That's a name I'd like.
Okay, so there's a little bit of the relatability of Elizabeth Warren, who would like to be the next president of the United States. I'm really focused on, so she has the dog. If y'all haven't listened for long enough here, that when you're being pandered to is when I smell blood in the water.
Mm-hmm.
The pandering I do not like. And believe me, this is going to be bipartisan. Y'all, just wait a second, because I'm going to roll out another pander bear, one of my favorite pander bears from the past. But this, hey, I'm in my kitchen. I got my dog. I'm going to get me a beer. Elizabeth Warren, when you say that, it's offensive to any of us that would say, I'm going to go get a beer.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even say it. I just grab the beer.
So she gets the bottle out, not a can, by the way, let's point out. She a bottle of beer, which has been staged over there off camera. So she's using like a cell phone feed, right? So it's and she's doing it for Instagram. So it's in not landscape, but the other one.
Right.
Up and down, whatever that is, vertical. So she's got that feed. So she goes off camera to get the beer.
And shout out to Bruce.
Yes.
He was probably thinking, Liz is drinking again.
Yeah, I got to deal with her. Oh, here's where I step in to say, oh, yeah, we're all happy here. She doesn't. This is where he's not. He's actually blinking his eyes to give you Morse code to tell you I've been locked in a box in a closet. I'm only allowed out for the Instagram live stream.
Yeah, and you know it was pandering because she mentioned there were 14 behind the camera. So she had mm-hmm. set assistants. She had a full crowd
no,
there.
No,
to
I
check
think
it
the
out.
14 were the people checking in on her Instagram
Ooh,
live.
Yeah, that's let's even go back. Worse. Yeah, let's that's go back. Awful.
Okay, because she says this. She says,
so, this is my sweetie.
Hello.
Save me. Save me. Somebody save me.
Thank you for being here.
Pleasure.
I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad you're here.
Oh, my God, here.
Because, by the way, once again, that's how everybody talks to their spouse. I'm glad you're here. Yes, yeah. Honey, I'm glad you're here, too.
Pleasure to meet you.
Yes. She goes on here.
Who have we got here so far? Skylar and 14 others. Hello?
So she's got 15 people. She wants to be the next president of the United States. She's got 15 people checking in on the Instagram live stream.
I misunderstood. I assumed that there were more than 15 people watching the live stream of Elizabeth Warren. She had to have been talking about. But I still think they had set assistants that were sending Bruce when it was time for his cue.
Oh, yeah.
And she waited for the beer to go grab that.
There were more set assistants, possibly, than there were people on the Instagram live stream.
I think so. Just a fascinating peek into the life.
Yeah, so here's what I want to run by y'all. And Dalton and I have watched the video now and tried to figure out what beer
mm-hmm.
she got. I've got to be interested, because if she's a person of the people, she's just like all of us, she's got to tell us what beer she's drinking.
You would think so.
No logo shows.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a bottle of beer. Either the logos have been peeled, the way you do when a beer sweats and you're... You know, you're looking for something to do there and you pull the logo off, or they had like a prop beer because you can see no logo, or she has it turned around purposely. See no logo. It is just a kind of a dark brown bottle.
Could have been a root beer for all we know.
Could be. So what do you think? If Elizabeth Warren has a beer of choice, what is Elizabeth Warren's beer
could
of choice?
Could it be malt liquor? Is there any chance that she came in with a bottle of Colt 45?
No, but the size bottle is not... I know she's trying to be like regular folks, but it's a smaller bottle. I don't think you can get malt liquor in a 12-ounce size.
Leinenkugels. The beer with the Native American on the logo, Leinenkugels.
Is that what it is?
I believe their summer shandy is awesome.
I have not had
during
that.
The summer months. But Leinenkugels, I think it's out of, it might be out of Massachusetts, out of her home state. I think it's New Hampshire. But Leinenkugels, that's one of my guesses. The other is that back when the Obamas were in the White House, mm-hmm. brewing their very own beer, they probably gave her one or maybe a six-pack of the Obama White House beer. And I don't think she drinks very often.
That's no, but she tells us she's in her kitchen. She's going to get a beer.
Yeah.
She's playing. Got the dog. They're hanging out. They're probably going to put on, some Widespread Panic live in 94 in Montgomery or something. Put that on and jam out while they're cooking and drinking beer, right? Because they're like us.
Yeah, she didn't pull the, what time is it? It's beer 30. Time for me to crack open a cold one.
So there she goes. So I wanted to tell y'all that it is a bipartisan, my efforts here and my smelling blood in the water on well, being pandered to, and the pander bear is something bipartisan. I have more audio saved up here over the years of people pandering to us politicians. But one that stood out to me, just because today is a day that we're going to talk about Mitt Romney in just a second. We're going to talk about that with Cameron Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Mitt Romney coming out with that op-ed, screwing President Trump. And Mitt Romney himself had one of these moments, I think, that he was explaining how he's just like all of us, too. Now, Mitt Romney wasn't drinking beer. He's LDS, and he wouldn't be consuming alcohol or caffeine.
Doesn't touch it.
But he is. He's a good old boy, just like all of us. When he said, remember this? This has been years ago when he was running for president.
I made it very clear. I've always been, if you will, a rodent and rabbit hunter, all right? Small varmints, if you will. And I began when I was 15 or so, and have hunted those kinds of varmints since then, more than two times. I also hunted quail in Georgia, so I've it's not really big game hunting, if you will, or it's not deer and large animals, but I've hunted a number of times of various types of small rodents.
There you go. He hunts him some varmints. She drinks her a beer. They're just like us. You don't worry about it. All right, coming back, Cameron Smith joins us as we roll on Midday Mobile for a new year.
I never will get back. If she had to leave, did she have to leave me one beer? Short of a twirl pack, she left me hanging high and dry in a hell high summer sun. A damn believe that was a cool.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, Dalton, I don't know how we missed that. Unnamed texture, brilliant. That if you're on our text line trying to figure out what brand of beer, what kind of beer was Elizabeth Warren drinking when she went to get her a beer? There when she was just hanging out in the kitchen doing regular folk stuff. She had a dog and a husband and everything was normal. And except there was no logo, no label on the beer. But of course, she drinks them all the time. And we had different suggestions here, but unnamed texter said, maybe it's an India Pale Ale. Might possibly be true. All right, and then, of course, Mitt Romney is tough on the varmints. You'll get some reaction to this from our buddy Cameron Smith from AL.com. Hey, man, Happy New Year.
Well, hey, Sean, how are you doing? Happy New Year to you.
Oh, I'm just starting trouble, doing normal things. Nothing's changed from 2018 except the names. And here we go. More of the, I guess it was Monday or over the last weekend when Elizabeth Warren announced her 2020 run. And I love this trap when there's somebody in there. It has to be, you know this stuff at a level I don't, but there has to be some handler there going, okay, you need to seem relatable. You need to seem like regular people. Let's get you drinking beer in the kitchen and hanging out.
This is one of the biggest political mistakes that folks make. If you have to do normal people stuff, then you're probably not. You know, when you have to think about that, like, for example, I naturally step on Legos in the dark at night.
Right. You and I don't make that up. That's true.
That's not a thing that, like, I try or I'm like, you know what would be great? If we put some Legos on this floor and I stepped on them, then maybe I would seem relatable. And I think that's a political mistake that people make is saying, okay, I need to seem relatable. Well, what you're really conceding is that you're not.
Right.
And I think if I'm Donald Trump looking at Elizabeth Warren throwing her hat in the ring, I'm saying bring it.
Yeah.
I don't think he's particularly concerned.
I mean, if you're saying that you're going to, okay, you're going to, and now Elizabeth Warren has a lot of the popular coming from the left, but still a populist angle on her Democrat politics. There were actually things in the past you and I had talked about when then Senator Sessions and Elizabeth Warren, if you took out, you know, maybe 25% of speech and then put the other 75% in, they were somewhat analog because they were talking about populist issues. It's just how to arrive at the solution. But in this case, she's now wiped all that stuff clean. If she's trying to be like a regular person, she's going to run as a populist from the left. That would be a job for Joe Biden, I think, not for Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, the way I look at it, particularly for Democrats, is, and I've said this on your show, and I continue to believe it, that if you want to run an effective candidate against Trump, it's probably Joe Biden. or somebody who's extremely like Joe Biden, because the electoral politics are pretty clear. You've got to be able to peel off those Rust Belt states, the same blue wall that Trump took down. You got to be able to win that back. Getting a higher percentage in Massachusetts or California isn't going to help a Democrat in the Electoral College. And I think that's what a lot of Democrats seem to be missing here is you've got to find that appeal to those Rust Belt states, those purple states, to pull them back into your camp from an electoral perspective. Otherwise, you'll get higher margins running a very progressive populist in blue states, but you need the swing states, and I don't see Warren having that appeal.
No, definitely not now, not after that came out. Also, Mitt Romney was one of the targets of my Panda Bear alert there before we got on this segment. He has, okay, he comes in here with the op-ed before he even gets started as a senator. Is he doing this for something down the road, or is he just carving out the available space where he... Because he will get attention, right? If he's the voice against Trump, he's going to have a lot of cameras in his face. He'll get a lot of time on the news shows, right? Is that what he's going for? What do you think's happening?
I don't have any idea. frankly, and I mean that sincerely. I think that he's right on a number of points in some of the character critique and stuff. I mean, it's obvious and things that we've talked about. But the question is why? Why take the shot right before you come into office? Why set the table? And I don't know if this means Romney's angling towards saying, hey, I'm going to run a primary against Trump. I'm sort of feeling this out. Or, hey, I just want Trump to know that I'm not just a foregone conclusion that I'm going to be supportive of whatever he wants. It seemed that if there was a particular thing that Romney wanted or something he was trying to do, I'm missing it. And I think that he's staked a claim, said, here's what I'm about, but the what for is eluding me right now.
Yeah, it seems to be if he was going to use it down the road for political capital, he played the hand too early. So, I mean, that's what just looking at it, and I go, I guess he wants to be be a bigger fish in a smaller pond, I guess, because if you're going to be saying nothing about the president or in line, with lockstep with Trump, you're going to be part of a bunch of Kenneth Moss Trumpy people in Washington. But if you take the other route, maybe you get more attention because you're the man bites dog story, I guess.
Well, I think the question that I have that's sort of uncomfortable is, well, I get it if that's the position that you're going to take, but then didn't you ask for Trump's endorsement repeatedly?
Yep.
Didn't you want a position in his administration? If you really take exception with him on a broad level and saying that he hasn't risen to the occasion, as it were, why would you want all of those things? And I think that was immediately the backlash that I saw to his op-ed. I think, again, we need to kind of figure out what Republicans are about, where we're going, what the game plan is, because we're going to find out pretty quickly from the House Democrats what their plan is and where they want to go. And so, this will get pretty interesting pretty quick.
Okay, speaking of that, where this goes, day 12 of the shutdown, and usually this goes long enough till the foot gets hotter on one side or the other. In other words, somebody gets the political heat turned up on them, and they capitulate or work out something, but I don't know who that would be. I mean, President Trump has been pretty clear about where he's, except for the time he wavered and vacillated a little bit, and then he went back to being solid on this, that it's going to be $5 billion or the highway. The Democrats are at $1.3 billion on this wall funding. I don't see that serves them both. If you have galvanized voters out there that are going to go rah, 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 oppose Trump at every step, or Trump folks saying, don't give them an inch, where's the benefit in anybody working a deal out? Where's the gray area? Where's the negotiation?
Well, I think we get to a point where we've realized, and you and I've talked about this, that there's got to be compromise. I mean, we're a diverse country with people who have very diverse views on a lot of things, and a border wall is certainly one of those things. And I think Republicans have to have some funding, a significant amount of funding for a physical border wall. Otherwise, no one is going to take them seriously on any future shutdowns. Every shutdown will be blamed on Republicans, and it will be, you're just posturing because we all know you're going to fold at the end of the day. That said, a $5 billion hard line where Democrats say, hey, we're just not going to give you that, I don't think, have any problem running this out, because Trump has taken ownership for it and said that it's on him. And particularly when we get more acute, when it gets more than a couple weeks, that's when the pressure starts building. That's when people's lives are really starting to be affected. And Trump's hardcore base is going to say, hey, it doesn't matter. You know, this is about security, and they're right that this is about national security. But Democrats have a playbook that says, We're not gonna waffle on this. We're not gonna fold. We're banking on you folding. Frankly, this is a bad way to do politics. It's this game of chicken, but that's where we are.
Yeah, but when we get the stories rolled out, you know, they haven't really happened because of this partial shutdown happening over a holiday. But now that they got a fresh month to work with, the stories of here's somebody who works for the federal government who's gone without a paycheck, here's the impact on their life, those kind of stories, I don't, you know, in the past, those would be kryptonite. The politicians would run from that and they would do something. But like you and I've talked about, in the situation we're in now, I don't know who, I guess people keep cheering that it's more important to block the wall from the Democrat side, or more important to build the wall from the Republican side, than those people get a paycheck, I guess.
Yeah, and I think that's where we are. And the question is, are you going to have enough in terms of numbers in the House and Senate to, you know, work out a deal that, frankly, they could override Trump's veto? And I don't know the answer to that. I don't think right now that deal is on the table, and so this thing could go on for a while, as far as I can tell.
What happens there? I mean, at a certain point, at least in history that I've watched it, is when these things come to an end, shutdowns come to an end, they do pay the people back the money that they didn't get in checks, even though they didn't work. Am I correct there?
Yeah, I mean, that's usually how this works, is that they backdate it so that it's like it never happened, and so that, you know, folks aren't out a significant portion of their take-home pay. That said, the effects of that are pretty significant for folks that have to do that. Even if they do get the pay back later, if they have to take out loans and do other short-term things to kind of run stopgap measures, that's a big deal. It's highly disruptive, and frankly, it's properly emotional. I mean, when people see that, and that's in the headlines, I understand border security, I understand building the wall, but the media narrative isn't going to be about, hey, do we really need to secure our border? What is the border security discussion? It's going to be about, hey, look what the big bad Republicans have done. And I think Republicans need to really get on that quickly and start talking, but I haven't seen that.
All right, coming right back, more with Cameron Smith from AL.com. If you have not made your New Year's resolution, couldn't even think of anything, it's okay. He's done it for us. 10 things to leave behind in 2018, maybe things to do right in 2019. We'll get that list from Cameron when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Oh, thank goodness. That just came across as a news flash. Astrologer reveals where you should travel in 2019, according to your sign. We'll probably get to that story later. Continue our conversation with our buddy Cameron Smith from AL.com. And if you go over to AL.com or check out the Twitter feed, you'll see this, 10 things to leave behind in 2018. Are you going to help us, like, clean house and get off on the right foot? And why is there a payphone on here?
Well, it needed to be left behind. I actually encountered this payphone in the wild and took a picture of it. And it was sort of like, wow, it doesn't work anymore, but it's still plugged in. I didn't really know why, but it just kind of made me think that, like, some things do need to be left behind. I understand everybody's got their New Year's resolutions and things they want to do, but I said, hey, what are some things I need to leave behind? And some of these are serious. Some of these are a little more fun. But, you know, the astrologer location to travel in 2019 is a perfect example of what's first on my list, which is the 24-hour breaking news. I'm ready to leave that behind. There are a lot of things that happen in the world, but I wrote, if a tree falls in a forest and no one is around to hear it, it shouldn't receive a breaking news headline on Fox News or CNN.
You know, we hear the same thing. I mean, anything that happens has its own sounder going into it for breaking news. It's the biggest thing that ever happened, to the point that we don't even look up anymore maybe when they say breaking news. But so 24-hour news cycle, you still believe in doing some news, but just maybe not as much?
Well, I mean, I've seen UFO segments. I've seen random things that it's literally like, hey, you know what? There's nothing really newsworthy happening right now, but something's got to be breaking, so we got to make it up. And it's like, oh, here's an event in the world, so this is breaking. And I think that that creates a really weird phenomenon of people are being told, well, you need to care about things that you normally wouldn't care about because the word breaking is in front of it. And, hey, you don't want to be left out. Some things aren't newsworthy, and that's fine. And like I said, I'm just leaving those things behind in 2018. I'm not saying that there isn't breaking news, but there's a lot of things that, frankly, I don't really have an opinion about, and I want people to know that that's okay.
What about tariffs? You got an opinion about that?
I do. We're not going to leave the trade war behind with China in 2018. That's ongoing. And unfortunately, the trade taxes and the tariffs and the corresponding retaliation from China haven't really lowered our trade deficit. But they are costing both countries economically. It seems like this is going to pile on to the tune of billions of dollars. It's hurting farmers. It's hurting other folks that, frankly, we've talked about this repeatedly. It's easy to kind of lose sight of the fact that, like, Americans pay for these. We pay for these in terms of higher prices. And so it's something that we need to keep thinking about. I'd be completely fine leaving those behind in 2018.
All right. And this one, man, this hits hard because there's a lot of truth in this. Electronics is a parenting technique. You're not the first person to say it, but, we know each other's families and children, and this is something that I've been guilty of as well.
Yeah, I figured I needed to own up to it and leave it behind in 2018, but electronic devices are not a substitute for parenting. I know that the glow from those screens will render your children mute and immobile, and that's really useful when you need to do stuff around the house mm-hmm. or you've got work stuff you got to do, but it's not parenting, and it's real easy, at least in my case, to let that go a little bit more than it should, so that it's just, hey, when things get a little crazy, here's a device, here's an iPad, here's a thing, just focus on that. We're not getting rid of them completely, but we're putting them on a high shelf in a cabinet, and we're only going to break them out for road trips and special occasions. Zombies may be convenient, but we'd rather have our kids in 2019.
Well, I tell you what, I like the fact that you put the exception for road trips, because as is just the down and back to Florida for the Sullivan family during the last few days, they're important. We actually get to talk to each other when we put an iPad in the children's hands.
Yeah,
it's not
and
good
I'm
parenting.
Not saying they're bad in every situation, but the slippery slope for parents, definitely in my family, is, well, it worked in this situation.
Yep.
Okay, I need a breather. Here's the iPad.
No, you're right.
You never end up talking to your kids.
No, you're so very right. That's so true. All right, political haterade. Haterade.
I mean, look, I love a good political battle as much as everyone or anyone, but the meanness and the hatred and this sort of you disagree with me, therefore I need to fight you with every fiber of my being, that's not helpful. It's not patriotic. It's not useful. And we have processes for sorting out these disagreements. Our founding fathers were smart folks. They figured out that we could have these votes. We could have them in the House, in the Senate. We could have them in the states as we elect people. And that's how we sort through those. And that's a way to make a lot more progress, is focusing on those processes and those votes rather than venting our spleens against straw men on social media 2018 can keep all that.
Well, that's what I was going to say, that if you're going to be, you know, full of pouring political haterade on people, you do that usually on social media, right?
Yeah, well, it makes you feel like you're doing something. Like every time Trump tweets something and then everyone who doesn't like Trump says something, you know, mean back at him, or, oh, expletive this or that. Well, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't actually solve anything. It might make you feel better for a little bit, but playing those games, playing that sort of social media back and forth, that may be entertaining for some folks, but it's not productive.
What about this? This is another one that hits home for a lot of families. So worrying about possibilities.
Yeah, I like to think and solve problems. That's what I do. But it also tends to make me worry. And as a Christian, the Bible's pretty clear on the futility of worrying, and that each day has enough trouble of its own. But in 2018, I found myself worrying about problems that were potential issues, but hadn't even risen to the level of problem of the day status. And that was a lot of time and stress doing over nothing. And I just want to leave that behind. And I know a lot of other folks are in the same boat.
I'm really upset by number 7 on your list here. Does this mean that the fact that I just hadn't gotten it to you yet, that the Bluetooth-enabled smart toaster that we bought for y'all, that you're not going to want that?
You know, send it my way, but I got to tell you, I'm skeptical about unnecessary technology in household appliances. I'm seeing this as a trend. It's almost like somebody made a refrigerator, and it's like, hey, you know what this needs? We need to throw a little technology on it. And so they stick an iPad on the door. Well, the problem with that is you have an iPad that's stuck to a refrigerator. So you can't really do anything with it. And this is everywhere. My smartphone, I can press buttons on it instead of the machine for my washing machine. But that's not particularly useful, because I still have to sort the clothes and get them in there and get them out, fold them, and put them up. So this unnecessary technology for technology's sake in household appliances, I'm going to take a hard pass and leave that in 2018 until they get something better developed.
You know, I see that one, by the way, being a self-correcting, and I probably can't pull out the perfect example right now, but I've seen this in the past when technology runs, and it goes into, oh, you're going to use this technology and everything, and it overreaches, and then those items don't sell, and then it pulls back to whatever the right place in the market is. Is it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do see that happening, that, you know, all it's going to take is somebody's tablet breaking in their refrigerator and them saying, well, this is terrible.
it's too much.
Then again, I want you to know, I wrote it first on AL.com, the vacuum cleaner with an embedded video chat feature, I think that could be a winner.
Big time. Okay, this one, speaking of time, this is, I want you to kind of flesh this out for people. I think this is well said. The myth of quality time, although I've been caught in this trap before myself.
Well, I love to work. I am a Trojan when it comes to my job. And what I try to tell myself is, well, small amounts of quality family time, well, that's better than large amounts of regular time. Well, that's just kind of a convenient myth for me, because, and I've written about this, so you'd think I'd figure it out, but I haven't yet. Quality time can't be scheduled. You have to spend sufficient time in presence in order for it to happen. So if I'm spending insufficient time with family and trying to convince myself that it was necessarily valuable, that's just a lie, and I want to leave that one in 2018.
All right. News reports about tweets. Now, come on, man. You're going to ruin our whole morning show if you take this out.
No, this one gets me. This one makes me, like, my blood boil when people just... It's the written word. It's not so much that somebody says someone does something. It's the written word. When somebody writes a news article about someone tweeting a thing, I'm talking no opinion, no analysis, just so-and-so, President Trump tweeted this. Well, you know, there's an answer for this. You could just hit retweet without comment and save everyone some time.
But it makes it easy. It makes a news story, right? Because someone tweeted it and you put that out, and now you're done for the day.
I guess, but I mean, you know, even with your show, you talk about it. You have some opinion on it. It's not just wanted to let you know that this thing happened on Twitter. That is all.
Yeah,
and that's strange to me.
Have you ever seen it where? Okay, so something a tweet goes out, then a news story goes out about the tweet, and then somebody tweets the news story about the tweet, and then there's a Twitter conversation about the news story about the tweet when they could have just gone to the tweet in the first place.
Yes, that is exactly what I'm talking about.
And number 10 on your list, what you're leaving behind in 2018 is fear.
Yeah, and this seems, you know, it's kind of pie in the sky, but the way to look at it is, and I jokingly write that when I was a teenager, I rocked the No Fear t-shirts. Being fearless wasn't too tough when I didn't have any responsibilities. Now I'm rocking dad shoes, and I'm looking at my kids, my wife, politics, everything, and saying, well, what if this? Or this could go wrong, or how do I protect them from this? And the fear of what could go wrong needs to stay in 2018. I know that 2019 is going to have bumps in the road, but I'd just rather those bumps come from going down an uncharted path than being paralyzed by fear. And that's one of the reasons it needs to stay behind me.
Well said. If people want to reach out to you, where do they go? And also, probably worthwhile watching one of your social media feeds to see about some breaking news for you.
You can always check my Twitter account for tweets that other people have tweeted. That is, in fact, okay, and I am completely not criticizing that.
Okay.
That said, you can find me at D. Cameron Smith, and feel free to yell at me. Love the discussion.
Well, I'm getting ready to, whatever you tweet next, I'm making a full news story about it. So
I'm excited about that.
Very good, man. Happy New Year, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, sir.
1246 FM Talk 106.5. Catch a news update here. I don't know if it's breaking. News update from our partners over at WKRG, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1250 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. It's the first Midday Mobile for 2019. It feels almost like 2018, but just different. Hey, by the way, we are in the waning days here of the 2018 Alabamian of the Year. Remember how this process works, right? That you did the nominating back in November, early December. Dalton assembled the list here, March Madness style, and you voted, and the top four vote-getters in each round moved on, and we continue to winnow down the list. We're now at four, and then there were four. And what's up today? Well, here you go. Here are your top four. These are one of these Alabamian of the Year nominees will be the winner. Okay, here you go. High Steppin' Turkeys, Clyde and Henrietta, of course, made famous by Governor Ivey, the one-time senator, one-time attorney general, Mobilian Jeff Sessions, Baldwin County Rabid Foxes, and Mobile City Council Mayor Sandy Stimson drama. Those are the four that are left. After all the voting, this is it here. So right now, let's see here. Let me refresh this, get the latest. This is pretty cool. We have a on our website, and you can see it too when you go to fmtalk1065.com. It's not just us in the studio. You'll see the same thing we do. Each vote comes in. It moves percentages. Right now, leading Jeff Sessions. Then you have Clyde and Henrietta, the High Steppin' Turkeys. Then you have the drama between the city council and the mayor in Mobile, and then Baldwin County Rabid Foxes in fourth position. So make sure your vote is tallied today. It'll just be two, and then we will award on Friday the winner of the Alabamian of the Year, which is either going to be some turkeys, the former Attorney General of the United States, some foxes that have rabies, or a whole bunch of people that aren't communicating down at Government Plaza. Check it out. Front page of fmtalk1065.com. And this, by the way, too, I mentioned it as I was talking to Cameron. This is one of these stories, these hard-hitting stories coming across in my news feed for 2019. The astrologer says where you should go depending on your star sign. Says, here we go. So I guess I could put this ridiculousness up. It says, with a story from the Daily Mail. Says, with the new year having begun, thoughts of a brand new adventure are on the horizon as people dream of the idyllic locations they can travel to in 2019. To make a decision process easier, two astrologists have revealed where you should travel according to your star sign. Of course, why didn't I think of that? Like, I would think of, like, figuring out when the kids had vacation, what the majority of the family wanted to do, what our budget was. Maybe could we see kinfolk while we're there? You know, that's a real thing where you could do a two-for-one. You're like, oh, we're on vacation, but hey, look, it's Aunt so-and-so. But no, we could just go to what the astrologists tell us where we should go. Although mine's not a bad gig. I am I'm a Cancer, and it tells me I need to go to the Great Barrier Reef. Okay, I'm in. Although I'm jealous of the Leos then. They're Bali, Indonesia. I would do that, too. I'd love to go to And I'd like to go anywhere out in the South Pacific. If I could travel through the South Pacific to get to Australia or then get to Indonesia, that'd be cool too. Just not when they're having a tsunami. So there you go. If you're looking at just look to the stars, right? If you're trying to figure out where you go. None of these, by the way, looking through here, none of these say Disney. Just saying, maybe I will use this with my family and say, listen, I looked through all of our signs, and the two astrologers, the Daily Mail, contracted to do this. None of them say, go back to Disney. So maybe I'll use that in my argument. All right, phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Coming up next hour, Todd Stacey, aldailynews.com, is going to join us. He's a new part of his staff. This is really going to be great. A new member of his staff that's going to do nothing but report on Montgomery this coming session. This is a big deal because this upcoming session is going to be filled with lots. And some of the big ones here, of course, we've talked about at length. Lotto, gas tax. And we'll get into gas tax. I know I had a lot of texts from earlier that didn't get answered. We'll get into those when we talk to Todd. Gas tax and lotto and Medicaid expansion. That's the one that has not gotten as much discussion, but that's on there too. And these are bills that it's not maybe they'll come up. We've had, Speaker of the House, Mac McCutcheon, Senate Pro Tem Del Marsh, they're both saying these things are going to happen, or at least these are going to be debated. They're not going to be, round filed on this. I have a feeling that there's some people in the state that disagree. They say this is the introductory session, and then Lotto will be the next session. I bet you they get Lotto done before they get anything else done, because they're easier. The polling shows that it's going to be popular, and that's kind of what drives, it drives a lot of people, politicians to decide yes or no on things. So that is probably first, and then probably they'll get to gas tax and then Medicaid expansion. That's my guess, but we'll find out what Todd thinks coming up in just a little bit. All right, so he joins us next hour. And before we finish up this hour, I mentioned it this morning, but this is some down-home stuff. And as I petitioned on Twitter earlier, please, Rolling Stone magazine, please, the next issue, I haven't gotten Rolling Stone since I was like a college freshman, but it's still out there, right? It's still print, or is it just digital? If it's printed, next cover has got to be Ray Sawyer, Dr. Hook, and Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show. According to the page6.com, Ray Sawyer's publicist says that he died in Daytona Beach, Florida, after suffering a brief illness, which he didn't recover from. They didn't give his cause of death. I know a couple people that are familiar with the family have sent me some emails about that. I'll just wait till that's released by the family. Of course, he is a native of our area, as in Chickasaw. When I bought my first home, moving back here in Chickasaw, I was quickly informed by my neighbors that you're living in the hometown of Dr. Hook. So I learned that way back in the 90s. Of course, Sawyer is a member of the Alabama Music Hall of Fame, which is saying something. We've had some amazing musicians come from our state, so a pretty heady company he keeps there. He appeared in a string of hits in the 70s and 80s, including Sylvia's Mother, A Little Bit More, Only 16, Walk Right In, Sharing the Night Together, When You're in Love with a Beautiful Woman, remember that one, Better Love Next Time, and Sexy Eyes. 81 years old, Ray Sawyer died. Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show. Rolling Stone, if you're worth anything anymore, which I don't know if you are, you better have Ray Sawyer, patch and all, on the front of the Rolling Stone. Please do. All right, coming right back. Another hour, Midday Mobile, on FM Talk 106.5.
Now it's all designed to blow our minds, but our minds won't really be blown. Not the blow that'll get you when you get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone. Rolling Stone.
Wanna see our pictures on the cover.
We say we got a genuine Indian guru. He's teaching us a better way.